Today is Thursday, September 22nd, 2016. This is an interview with Carlos J. Chavez, who served with the 83rd Infantry Division during World War II. And this interview is being conducted at his home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And my name is George F. Banda. And this interview is being recorded for the Wisconsin Veterans Museum Oral History Project. Carlos, tell me where you and when you were born.
Well, in 1923, in Tatquasiclo, Michoacán.
And what made you come up here? Were you a little baby, and when?
Yeah, I was 3 years old, and my dad sent for us because he was working over here, so he sent for my family. I don't remember what the year it was.
Okay, so you got here, and you grew up in Milwaukee?
I grew up in Milwaukee. I went to school at St. Augustine. I graduated there in 39. Then I went to Boys Tech. And I only stayed 3 years because every year I wanted to be a machine shop. But the one that was good one, I couldn't get it. So they gave me a wood shop. Then the next year, electric shop. Then the third year, auto shop. I couldn't learn nothing there, so I quit and went to work.
Okay.
I worked at Trossel.
And Trossel's a tannery.
Yeah, Trossel was a tannery. And it was a good job.
Okay. So where did you live in Milwaukee at that time?
Well, right on Austin Street in Bayview, 2400 block. Oh, but then we went to, somebody bought the house. So we had to go to the Third Ward, Italian, the yeah. community there. My mother cried like a baby. Because over here, you know, you got green grass, parks and everything. The Third Ward, all cement, no trees, nothing. But after about a month or so, my mother got used to talking to the Italian people, you know. And then she was happy because she had a lot of neighbors. We all lived within a block or two of each other, all my buddies.
That's good.
So that was good.
So then you were still working at Trossel when the war started?
Yeah, I was still working at Trossel. Then I got married. I was 19. And that was in March. Then I got drafted.
How did you meet your wife? And what was her name?
Oh, a buddy, Lena May. Well, they all call her Babe. A couple of buddies of mine knew her. So they introduced them to me. And we got, you know, pretty well acquainted and that. But my dad never wanted me to marry a girl. She wanted me to marry a Mexican girl. I knew a couple of them, but it never happened. Never materialized. So when I brought my wife to meet my parents, my dad says, you know, he's a poor boy. He's a poor boy, you know that. And my wife says, I don't care, I love him, you know, stuff like that. But after that, we got married there, been to court at that time. And then I got drafted, and I went to the service, and to Fort Leonard, Missouri.
What year was that? Do you remember?
I was in 43. And first day I got there, they told me you need a haircut. At that time I had But they never used nothing else but a razor. One, two, three, and that was it. The next day, my parents came to see me with my wife. They couldn't believe it. I was bald. I couldn't believe it. Well, after that, we went training, you know, Fort Leonard Wood.
How was the training there at Fort Leonard Wood?
It was good.
What kind was it? Just
marching and training and shooting, you know.
Right.
Rifle shoot. Right. That's why I got that carbine. I got excellent at that. That's why I got that medal there.
Right.
And then we went on maneuvers down in Kentucky. And after that, then we got orders. The privates and PFCs got orders to go overseas. So from there, all of us went to New Jersey. And that's where my mother and dad and my wife came to see me off. So we went on a boat. It took about 2 weeks to go on a boat. And we landed in, I can't think of the name of that place. Anyway, overseas. And there they split us up. Some went to different divisions. I happened to be in the 83rd Division. That's an Ohio division.
Okay.
So that's in Normandy. I joined them they were about 20 miles in from Normandy. And that's where I started the battle. At that time, they were fighting in the, they call them hedgerows, where the farmers, you know, had big hedges for their farms. And the enemy, well, the Germans had machine guns on either side. And when I went in, I was supposed to run and go along the hedges to the other side. But when I got to the opening, there was a soldier that was already dead. So he got shot. So I cried like a baby. But then I got up and I did what I had to do, you know. But after that, then I was okay. I knew what was going on. We had mortar shells coming in on us, you know, at that time, all the time.
Sure.
But we got through the hedgerows. And I don't know, we were stationed at a certain place, certain village. And they were supposed to, they were waiting for the skies to clear so we get our bombers in there. So at that time we had to put panels in front of our lines so the bombers couldn't, you know, wouldn't drop the bombs in the wrong place.
Right.
But later on I heard they wiped out one of our battalions. They forgot to put the panels out. And after that, well,
was that still around Normandy when you were doing that?
Yeah, right around Normandy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Around Loire Valley. And the skies cleared, and the day we took off, there's 1,800 bombers flew over. They bombed. And our paratroopers, they dropped behind the lines, you know. And we took off on Patton, on the tanks. We passed St. Below, the Loire Valley. That's all I remember. We captured about 3,000 Germans there. And we bypassed Paris. Patton wanted to go. Well, we wanted to leave it for the French resistance forces. They wanted to go in.
Okay.
Well, some of our forces too, but not us. Patton wanted to take off. So we took off, and about 50 miles away, we had to stop because Patton, they didn't have enough gas to go. We had to wait for our supplies to come up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah. So after that, I forget what it was, you know. From then on, I my memory's dim.
Okay. Did you make friends when you were in the military? First of all, did you meet anybody here that you knew when you were at Fort Leonard Wood at all?
Yes, there was a couple of Italian fellows that I knew.
Okay.
That came, you know. But after that, I don't know where they went.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you got there, after I learned that just after that, that every Wisconsin man that went there, they sent him in different outfits.
Okay.
Because they didn't want Wisconsin, you know, once, you know, you shoot him up and get killed and that. That'd be too much for Wisconsin or any other state.
Sure.
So they all split us up.
Okay.
So.
Did you try to make any friends when you were in Europe? You know, like with Normandy?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, sure. Like Joe Kirby there.
Right.
Yeah. But when you're in a war, you know, you don't want to make too many friends because they could kill you, miss them, you know, stuff like that. So I didn't have too many friends except this one Kirby here. We got pretty close.
Did he ever get you in any trouble?
No.
Kirby?
Well, I wouldn't say that. After that, we made sergeants. He had the first platoon. I had the second platoon. And, we captured some motorcycles from the Germans. And he was in another town. I was in another town. Split up the platoons, you know. And he'd call me. I'd call him, hey, I got some eggs over here cooking. So we got a motorcycle and went to the next town. In the meantime, the Germans were shelling us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why, you young kid?
You know.
Or else I'd call him, he'd call me. Finally, that had to stop because we had to move on. Oh, crazy.
I remember you mentioned earlier about your outfit took off without you guys.
Oh, yeah.
When you were in town or something, something happened there?
Yeah. I think that was a battle of the Hurtgen Forest when we got through that. And then we had a little bivouac. You know, every time after a campaign, you settled someplace. And you stay there 2 or 3 days to get replacements and training. So when we got to this town here, my second in command, staff sergeant, he said, let's go to town, you know. So I said, no, I kept saying, no. He kept pestering me. Till finally I said, okay. We were gone only about an hour or two. We come back, the outfit already pulled out. He had it pulled out. Took us 2 days to get up to him. At that time, they were at Battle of the Bulge when we got there. So he had to go up and see the colonel. But, you know, we told him what happened in that, you know. So he got me down. It took one step away from me. What made me a staff sergeant, and my staff sergeant made a private.
He really got punished.
He really got punished. Well, he's the one that told me my fault, you know, this and that. So, after that, before that Battle of the Bulge there.
How was that? How was the Battle of the Bulge?
Cold. That's when I lost one of my men.
The winter time.
I used to have a little freck-faced kid. Must have been about 18 years old, little chubby guy. For some reason, you know, he slept outside. And the next day, we found him frozen. He died. Oh, that was rough. And at that time, there was a lot of clouds. And they were waiting for him to clear up so we could get our fighters in there, bombers in that, our fighter planes in there, you know. Finally, after a couple of, we used to sleep on it next to tanks on the ground, 4 or 5 of us together with blankets over us. And after a couple of days, the sky cleared up. Our fighters come in. So then we took off. They bombed, you know, we had our artillery there. They bombed, they German lines in it. So we had a breakthrough there. So we kept going. But the next night, I got lost that one.
Now, did you have warm clothing, or did he supply you enough with wool clothes, wool pants?
Oh, yes, I have socks. They give us socks every day. Every day. Well, when it was warmer, but back in France and that, when going through there, we had after an engagement, we had to go to the rear, and they had, our engineers had set up, partake of the showers, you know.
Sure.
So, as we took showers, changed clothes and that. But that was happening only once, when it was warm.
Right. Well, once winter came, then it gets so cold that there's no way to clean up.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened there.
Were you near Bastogne and that area? Because that's the famous battle that I remember back in.
No. See, we changed different armies. You know, it all depends where we were. I was in the 3rd Army one time, 9th Army, 1st Army. Like, I think I was in the 9th Army up at Battle of the Bulge. Yeah.
How long did that last? It seems like that Battle of the Bulge seemed to last
quite a while. Quite a while.
You know, it's cold and it's winter. You know, you're trying to sleep
cold.
And not, you know, what do you eat? I mean,
we had key rations.
Right.
When the kitchen couldn't get up, it was, you know, then we had a hot meal. Down in France there, you go through the chow line. At the end of the chow line, they had cartons of cigarettes galore. You know, take what you want. Well, I didn't smoke much then anyway, but take 2 or 3 cartons. Then we give them to the farmers. They'd give us some eggs or chicken or something like that. That's what we get. That's down there, France. But up there, when we were fighting the 3rd and the Hurtgen Forest, they had a lot of kids we captured. I guess they were running out of men, you know. Pneumonia. I caught pneumonia, and I was in the hospital in Belgium for about 2 weeks. But then we were on a bivouac there. So,
is there a hospital there, or did they put you in the hospital? Is that for pneumonia?
It's a house, you know.
Okay.
Wasn't a hospital at that time.
Right.
You know, just big building. After that, then got back to my outfit. We were in Bavaria at that time, and my platoon was building it where Hitler used to have his hideaway of Bavaria. That was nice up there.
Yeah.
We had a restful. At that time, we went to see Bob Hope. He came to see us. We had to come over there.
Wow.
So we went to see Bob Hope at that time. The war was still on. So we went to see him, the big hall.
Yeah, he was quite amazing. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think he would go.
Yeah.
He went because
he
was just something that he cared about. The troops quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you got a chance to see him, and that's pretty good that you got a chance to see Bob Hope. And that was where in Bavaria.
In Bavaria, yeah, Bavaria.
How long did you stay there? Just a few weeks?
Not too long. Well, by that time, the war was almost over. At that time, you know.
How did you get your orders to go from one place to another? Like you were in Normandy, and then you went to the Ardennes, and then...
From division headquarters, come down to company headquarters. At one time, I was a runner before I made sergeant, you know. I was a runner between the platoon at company headquarters. Any message that they wanted, you know, I'd bring it down or take it over there. But
did they give you a Jeep and or just run? You know, when
we
you
walk.
Say run, they mean
he walk. Yeah.
Okay. So you pick up some paperwork and they give you an envelope?
Yeah,
or
yeah, whatever it is, you know. And I take it down to the platoon.
And then from there they get the orders?
Yeah, we get the orders there.
Give you the rest of that information and say, okay,
yeah,
we're moving out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going this way. And this, that's pretty good.
Let's see.
And,
what else now?
We had a lot of battles, I know that. And
yeah.
Mostly fighting.
Well, before that. God, I don't remember.
That's okay.
I know we met the Russians across the Elbe River.
That was toward the end of the war there?
Yeah, it was toward the end of the war, yeah. They wanted us to take Berlin, but then the headquarters came down with the orders, let the Russians take it. We were happy about that. Very happy.
Yeah, right. There's a lot more fighting in Berlin, you know, once you take it over a city like that.
Well, after that, I guess the war was over then.
Yeah.
Then we started, in Bavaria, we started training. We got replacements. We started training to go to South Pacific. So while we were training, we heard the war was over in Japan, you know.
Yeah. Right.
So all the guys got their guns and started firing.
Really?
Yeah. Scared the heck out of the poor people over there.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
But, you know, up in the area.
Yeah, up in the area.
They're happy it was all over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then one day the company commander came over, Carl, you got a furlough coming. He says, you want to go to England, France? Well, I was already over there.
I'm sure. See.
How about Switzerland.
Oh.
So I said, okay. So I went to Switzerland.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, for about a week. Beautiful country.
Not bad.
Size of the roads, forget it, not a speck of dirt or nothing.
Really?
Yeah, they were rocks, black and white. They paint them, you know, where the trains went by. So that's beautiful. And I got a chance to go up to to sleep on beds you wouldn't believe. They were like feather beds. And I had a chance to go up to the mountains up. I don't know what they call the Jungfrau. In other words, there's a car that took us all the way up into the mountains. And there was a big hotel up there with big windows.
Yeah.
You could see down below the valley. And all the mountains there, with snow and that, caps. So I was there for about a week. When I come back to the company, the captain told me, you got emergency furlough. That's my oldest daughter almost died. She had a ruptured appendix. She's about a year and a half old, something like that. So at that time, they were supposed to fly me to the States. But instead, they were shipping all the planes over to South Pacific to bring our wounded boys home, you know. So they flew me to Paris. And then from there, I got on a boat to come home. And they made me an MP, military police.
Really?
Yeah. I had to take care of the guys, you know, be sure nothing goes wrong and that,
right,
you know. So all the way, I forget where I landed anyway. I think I landed over the plane. In the center of the plane, it was one of the big planes. Nothing inside, nothing. But buckets in the middle. So I used to get air pockets, you know, the plane used to go like this here.
Yeah.
Guys had to throw up. So that's why they had the buckets in the center.
Oh, really? Sure.
I never had that, but no. But after that, I landed in, I don't know if it was New York or someplace, I forget. Yeah. I think I was to Jersey someplace. Anyway, I came home. It was my daughter's birthday, 5th of October. A couple of days before that, I got discharged. And the 5th of October, I came to Milwaukee. It was her birthday, 5 years old. So I bought her that dress over there that she's wearing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cute.
Then when I got home,
mm-hmm.
my brother Tony was shipping out. So I had to take him to the station to see him off.
Was he in the Army too? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the, well, most of my brothers, except Paulie. He was in Korea. He's the one that's seen really action.
Yeah.
There. So that's about it.
And what about the, your daughter that had the appendix ruptured? How?
Oh, well, a vein burnt. No, she had 110 fever.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And a vein burnt there, you know.
Okay.
Huh? Oh. And, She had bad time.
Okay.
She had epilepsy.
Sure.
She used to have a lot of, oh, she was sick for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. So now you get back to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And you go back to work right away?
No, not away, but 2 or 3 weeks. I was anxious.
Yeah.
I went back there. They took me in.
Okay.
You know. And from there.
Sure, everybody was pretty happy to see you come back.
Oh, yeah.
And then after, I'm sure you're hearing on the radio.
Yeah, my dad and my...
What was going on over there.
Then my brother Tony came back. And my brother Rudy went. Then he come back. And my brother Paulie went. Little Louie, he's the one that should have went. But if it weren't still on, he probably
oh,
would
sure.
have went too.
Well, yeah, quite a few brothers going into the service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you bring back any souvenirs from?
At that time, you could send souvenirs home during the war. I got, well, a P-38, a little 25 I took off a woman. She was a soldier, too.
Really?
Yeah. There was a lot of them like that, Germans. Their wives or their girlfriends, whatever they were, you know,
captured. Well, you captured them and then you...
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something about a flag that you brought, a Nazi flag?
Oh, yeah. I sent some Nazi flags home. And at that time, we lived with my mother, and then we got a trailer down on a lake. And my wife... out of the Nazi flag, she made curtains for the windows. So, it looked good at that time, you know.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So you went back to work and everything kind of went back to normal again?
You know, settled down, yeah.
And settled down and raised a family. And,
yeah.
Your brothers all came back from what you were
saying? Yeah, they all came back.
You mentioned you knew a David Valdez.
Oh, yeah.
From the neighborhood, I guess.
He was well, I think I was already in the service when he went by my mother to say goodbye, you know, because he was leaving for the Air Corps, joined the Air Corps. And he told my mother, he says, don't worry about Carlo, he'll be home, but I won't. And never came back. Yeah, he was a tail gunner in the air. And I guess his plane went down in the Mediterranean. They never could find the plane.
think they made a, that was a David Valdez post, American Legion post in Milwaukee.
Yeah, his dad was a kind of a big shot, you know, at that time. Yeah. Yeah, we used to hang around together when we were kids.
Did he go to Boys Tech?
Yeah.
David?
Yeah, he's on the basketball team. At that time, I was too small for basketball. I went out for swimming. But, yeah, he's a good basketball player. So after that, well, things settled down to normal.
It's a normal, right? And then Korea started up in the 50s. And
yeah.
And you said one of your brothers
My brother
Korea.
Was there in Korea.
Luckily, he made it back.
Oh, yeah. I think he hated it. Because after a while, I learned from one of my brothers that when he come back, when he docked in wherever it was, New York or somewhere, he threw all his army stuff over the side.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to him.
Duffel bag, yeah.
Yeah, he was...
I don't know if he'll tell you about it, but... Because he...
It had nothing to do with it.
He hated the war.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. So things settled down, and you went back to work at Trussell, and...
Back to work.
And raised a family, and...
Yeah.
How long you've lived here in this house?
No, we lived in the Third Ward for a while. Then we had a friend of ours had a house on 8th and Burleigh where we rented for a while. Then from there we went to Buffalo Manor. There's a duplex here. So we went, we rented a place there. Nice woman there. She told us that if you come in, at that time they had coal stoves, you know, coal furnaces. I'll turn it into a gas. So she did that for us. And later on, years after that, they had the remembrance riots they used to have at that time. Well, fire engines used to come by our house with the army's guns and everything in there, looking for people, I guess. So we decided to get out of that area. So I sold a house. At that time, I sold a house. And then we come looking at Bayview here, where I used to live, you know. And we came to the house here, we checked it out, and there. Compared to my duplex over there, it was kind of small. So my wife says, you know, well, maybe not. But she liked it, you know. So on the way home, Carl, I go back, hurry up. Put a bid on it. What the heck do we want a big house for? There's only two of us. So I come back right away. At that time, there was another couple that came. And they almost got it. But I put $500 down. Yeah. So we were happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've been here ever since. Yeah. Started maybe 30, 35 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So, you know, when you think back about your service, you know, does anything stick out that you always will remember about being in the service? The people you met or the places you went to?
I tried to forget all that.
Is that what happened? Sure, absolutely.
I tried to forget that. Well, the only nice place I took pictures is Switzerland.
Yeah, you said you really liked Switzerland.
Yeah. That and up Bavaria when I went to see Bob Hope. Yeah.
The good memories that you have. Those are the ones you want to remember.
Well, outside of that.
Yeah, we'll soon forget. Soon forget it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Carlos. Thank you very much for the interview. I appreciate it.
It wasn't much, but
no,
all I can remember,
it's quite a bit.